Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. We are continuing our conversation with a good friend of mine, John DeVito. John DeVito used to work with MRM many, many moons ago. Ended up going and working with a friend of mine, Paul Carden, and still very much interested in the subject of Mormonism. He has a Mormon background, and he was asked to be a participant in an article in Christianity Today. And in answer to the question, what can Christians learn from the surge in Mormon youth missionaries? John was one of three participants in the response to that question. The article was actually read by Jana Reese, who has a Mormon blog site and is a Mormon author. And so she responds with another article, Mormon Works versus Evangelical Grace, Not So Fast. And as we discussed yesterday, Jana's background, and I think it would be fair to say that Jana's current belief system would probably not be one that, is not really one that is shared by a lot of traditional believing Mormons. What she says and what we experience with talking with a lot of Mormons on the street certainly sounds different. And she's entitled to her own views. That's right. Certainly, I would defend to the death her right to believe whatever she wants. But unfortunately, many times Christians reading these articles, because of her affiliation with The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, it's not difficult for them to naturally assume that what she's stating is something that Mormons are supposed to believe, and all do believe, and that's certainly not the case. Mm-hmm. In her article, she picks up on your statement that Mormon culture is founded on a worldview requiring works in order to gain eternal life. Let me just ask you, what caused you to say that? I mean, you were raised a Mormon, you've heard Mormons, why did you say that?
Well, I mean, it's from, you know, really my experiences growing up in the church. You know, I remember you wanted to be temple worthy in order to go through the various, you know, ordinances. And so in order for me to have my temple recommend and be baptized for the dead and go through those things, that it meant I had to go through a process. And for many Mormons, that means, you know, your tithe record is tracked. Are you faithfully giving 10% to the church? And they would try to verify those things. Are you faithful in your attendance to the meetings? Are you, you know, living a moral life? And you were interviewed and evaluated about whether or not you were worthy to receive a temple recommend to be able to go through. And what you would do in the temple was required to, you know, advance in Mormonism.
And you make covenants to keep all these commandments and to do all these things. And a Mormon may not want to understand where we're coming from on that, but definitely that would be considered a works righteousness. I've asked Latter-day Saints, are you telling me, because I get Mormons occasionally that try to sound evangelical to put me at ease. I says, okay, so are you telling me that if I didn't pay the tithe, would I get to the celestial kingdom? They go, well, no. Okay, if I don't get married in the temple for time and eternity, will I get into the celestial kingdom? No. And I go through this litany just like you did. If I don't do those things, will I end up in the celestial kingdom? No. Well, that's why we have a genuine concern. Mm-hmm. That is what we would deem a works righteousness. Right. You have to do things above and beyond what Christ has already done. And that's the problem that we have with Mormonism. Now, she makes a statement here. She says, and I want to quote her accurately. She says, Mormons talk about grace as our means of salvation as well, for everything begins with the free gift of Christ's atonement. Mm-hmm. But grace also equips us for service in the here and now. Now, what do you think she means when she says everything begins with the free grace of Christ's atonement? I mean, she's writing in Christianity Today, I'm assuming, right? This was her blog site.
Yeah.
This was on her blog site, so we have to assume she's probably writing to Mormons for the most part.
Well, yeah, even though it was picked up, she's a very well-known author. Her blog is on the Religious News Service site, so I think she's writing for a wider audience, even though clearly a lot of Mormons will read her. And so when she says, you know, I think that's a good question. What does she mean by everything begins with the free gift of Christ's atonement? If she's referring there to resurrection,
mm-hmm.
Well, I realize that, but that's not what we're talking about when we refer to eternal life and being in the presence of our Heavenly Father. So if she means everything begins, but then that's not enough, then Christ's grace hasn't accomplished our eternal life. Rather, it's, again, awaiting a certain level, however much you want to say, but it's awaiting a certain level of works achievement in order to have earned that eternity, that eternal destiny. And so she doesn't really go into that at all. What she seems to be saying, again, going back to what she said earlier, she said, on the works grace continuum, most Mormons stand closer to the works end of the spectrum than most evangelicals do. But then she tries to argue, but I think what she's saying is, but you know, us Mormons aren't as far from you as you think we are
mm-hmm.
on the spectrum. But to me, this is built upon a fundamentally flawed premise, and that's even seeing works and grace as a spectrum. Biblically speaking, this is not a spectrum. We don't try to get somewhere between one and another. In Ephesians 2, which I reference in my original article in Christianity Today, I like to quote Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. A lot of people just go through 9, but
sure.
When the Apostle Paul writes, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So how is grace and works related? How are grace and works related in those verses? They're opposed to each other. There is no spectrum here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then what role does works have? Verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So the relationship is that grace, by us believing, having faith in what Christ has done for us, we are saved. And that salvation is a full salvation where we have eternal life. We are in a relationship now with Heavenly Father that will be eternal with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And that this life, in this life, when we are united to Christ by faith, we gain the Holy Spirit, who leads us to become more like our Savior, which the fruit of that is the good works that we produce. So all through, it is the grace of God. And so, you know, I don't think, while Jana sounds maybe a little, to grant a little more ground there, when she says grace equips us for the service here and now, that at least within the LDS doctrine and teaching that I was raised with, and that I still see printed to this day, and any number of church manuals and general conference speakers. I mean, think about it this way, Bill. I was raised in the era, if you want to call it an era, of Spencer Kimball. He was the president of the church, the prophet of the church, when I grew up in the 80s. And in his book, Miracle of Forgiveness.
Oh, boy. Great book if you want to use as a witnessing tool.
But here's my point. When I grew up in the church, that was in our local ward brought forward. You want to read this book. I mean, it was heavily promoted. It was not seen. I know some people today are critical about it, but I'm telling you, just from a practical living level, when I was in the church, I mean, this book was like, you want to read this book, right? And he says in this book, "One of the most fallacious doctrines originated by Satan and propounded by man is that man is saved alone by the grace of God, that belief in Jesus Christ alone is all that is needed for salvation." How can it be any clearer? Now, if Jana wants to disagree with Spencer Kimball. As you said, that's her right. Mm-hmm. But to try to suggest that Mormons have not historically held this understanding and this relationship of grace and works, I mean, we could spend hours on the show simply quoting contemporary, currently printed sources to show general conference speeches within the last year that show this understanding of relationship of grace and works.
Well, let me give you a statement by Mormon apostle Robert D. Hales in a talk that he gave in General Conference. This was in 2007, October 2007. You can find it in the November Ensign, 2007, page 87. Each of us has been sent to earth by our Heavenly Father to merit eternal life. Mm-hmm. No evangelical Christian would ever say that.
Yes.
We would never use language like that. We cannot merit eternal life. And yet we find Russell M. Nelson, this is 2008, another General Conference message, eternal life or celestial glory or exaltation is a conditional gift. Conditions of this gift have been established by the Lord, who said, if you keep my commandments, endure to the end, you shall have eternal life, which gift is the greatest of all the gifts of God. Those qualifying conditions include faith in the Lord, repentance, and of course their definition of repentance is very troubling for us, baptism, receiving the Holy Ghost, and remaining faithful to the ordinances and covenants of the temple. What is one of those covenants in the temple? Promising that you're going to keep all the commandments.
And here's what's interesting, Bill. Jana goes on in her article to say, the opening sentence in the LDS Gospel Topics reference defines grace as, quote, the help or strength given through the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sure enough, it does. You can find that on the LDS website. But here's what's fascinating. You go on to read that very article that she references as explaining and defining grace in Mormonism. And it goes on to say,
tell you what, we're going to say it tomorrow because we're out of time. And we're going to leave you with that cliffhanger because this is an important topic. And I think we should take at least one more show to kind of talk about some of the things that she says in this article. And when you hear both sides, you're going to find there's a big difference between where she's coming from and where we are coming from.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Here's something to think about. Are you confidently prepared to share your faith with your Latter-day Saint friend or acquaintance? Do you feel you have an adequate grasp of Mormon doctrine and history? Well, if not, then we encourage you to attend Mormonism Research Ministry's Compassionate Boldness Symposium coming up on Saturday, July 27th. This four-hour event will take place at the Adventure Church in Draper, Utah. MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will focus on such issues such as the Book of Mormon, the Godhead, and salvation. Special emphasis will be made on how to answer LDS proof texts and the questions Mormons may pose. Now again, the event is free and open to the public, so everyone is invited to come. For those who would like to do further research, a book table will also be available. This Compassionate Boldness Symposium will take place starting at 9 a.m. on Saturday, July 27th at the Adventure Church in Draper. Simply take the 123rd South exit off the I-15. The church is located right there at 352 West and 123rd South. We look forward to seeing you there.